Welcome back to our study of Genesis. We are in chapter 9, and we had just left off with reading verse 6, that we had been talking about the blood and eating blood.
No, we were talking about the life being in the blood and mm-hmm. how there was a mandate to Noah. This is long before Moses. So I'm not teaching law. You with me? God's saying, don't eat the life. Don't eat the blood, because the blood, the life's in the blood. And then we were talking about how the avenger of blood, as it's called in the law of Moses, was responsible. If someone killed a family member, then that avenger would kill that person. Now, we have to make a differentiation between murder and war. War as a defense is not murder. But now, when you are malicious and doing things and carrying things to an extreme, there are things called war crimes. You with me? Just like we've seen here recently, cutting head off of babies. Mm-hmm. That's not war. That's massacre. You understand? And so we have to keep those things separate. Well, the Bible says you shall not kill. Actually, it should be interpreted, you shall not commit murder. Okay? Because you'll find throughout the Old Testament, God is given mandates to go in, just like with the nation of Israel going into the promised land. God says, utterly annihilate the seven nations. Don't leave anything breathing. Now, that's everything. Man, woman, child, whatever. Don't leave anything breathing. Now, why would he say that? You're eradicating the tools of the devil. Children grow up to be adults, and they're victims of their environment, and so they reproduce. You understand? Evil reproduces evil. So what God is saying is eradicate the land of evil. You follow that? Then he told Israel, if you go in and you follow the practices of those nations that I drove out, I'll drive you out. And that's exactly what he did. He did it with the Assyrians. He did it with the Babylonians. And, of course, the Egyptians, different ones that the nation of Israel, you know, when they turned away from God, they suffered the consequences. Do you follow me? So I want you to differentiate between murder, and this is what he's talking about here. It's just like killing an animal. You know, growing up, I was taught, don't shoot it if you won't eat it. If you kill that animal, you're killing it for food. You're not killing it for sport. Do you follow me? But it becomes a sport to people. Okay? And so now God is not holding man guiltless here, is what he's telling Noah. You have to be responsible for your actions. Okay? So I'm not teaching legalism, and don't go there. I'm telling you that Moses is not alive right at this time, then God's saying this. You with me? However, he did incorporate things in the law that's right in agreement with what he told Noah. Now, you know, the question has arisen, you know, about the preparation of food. You know, you buy the grocery store, whatever. Well, the truth is that animal was bled before they butchered the meat. However, there's still an element of blood in that meat. Now, I'm not going to tell you how to prepare your meat. I'm just going to tell you that I don't want no blood in my meat, because I want to be certain that I'm not violating God. You understand? And I don't even like the thought of that. If I see blood, I think of life. And so I don't want to be eating the life that's in the blood. You with me? Flesh is not life. You can eat the flesh, but leave the blood alone. Does that make sense to you? Okay.
Verse 7.
I needed to catch up there. Okay.
All right. And you, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein.
Here again, God's reiterating, right?
Mm-hmm.
Be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Family planning is a lie of the devil. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, fill the earth, fill the earth. You know what's happening? The perverts are filling the earth. And then you want to know why we're in the shape we're in? Because it's the Christians that's practicing not filling the earth. Okay, I'll rest my case here. Okay.
Verses 8 through 10, And God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, of every beast of the earth with you, from all that goes out of the ark to every beast of the earth.
So this covenant that God's making is not just with Noah. A lot of people call it the Noahic covenant. But listen to what he said. I establish my covenant with you, with your posterity after you, and every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth, God says, I'm establishing my covenant with you. That's pretty inclusive, isn't it?
And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth.
Now here's where people will pull one verse of scripture out of context and build a doctrine around that and propagate a belief that's not totally accurate, okay? Now, when I say totally accurate, there's obviously a truth in this. In this covenant, God says, I will not destroy all flesh from the earth by a flood. That's part of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've already read that he says, never again would he destroy everything that had life in it, right? Then he goes on to say here, neither would he ruin the earth again with a flood. He didn't say there would not be floods, but he would not flood the whole earth. Obviously, there are floods, and many of the floods are created by man. Manipulating weather can create floods, you understand. That's not God doing it. That's man doing it. So don't blame God. But still yet, the earth's not going to have, it's not going to cover the earth. Because God's already given his word. He's given his covenant. I'll not destroy the earth with a flood.
And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth.
Between God and the earth. Now, notice we haven't seen that word rainbow. We just see bow.
Mm-hmm.
We put the name rainbow because we generally see that bow in relation to rain. Okay? Now, here's the thing. God has put that bow in the clouds, in the sky, to where every time we see rain, what happens? Not every time. We don't actually see a rainbow every time. But every time God is seeing this, the bow, the rainbow as we call it, reminds God of his covenant between he and him and the earth, and it also reminds us of God's covenant between God and the earth. And so when you see that beautiful rainbow, it's just saying, I won't destroy the earth again with a flood. I won't destroy all life on earth again. But it doesn't say he won't deal with the earth. There is a judgment. Okay, but it won't be by the flood, okay?
Mm-hmm. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh, and the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth.
This is interesting. God has put that there to remind himself. You think about God seeing all the wickedness on earth. And, you know, the anger, the wrath of God. And he sees the bow. Well, I won't do it with the flood this time. I won't do it with the flood. You think about when God's made a covenant with someone, for instance, like with Abraham. And here's Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. It didn't say God remembered Lot. It said God remembered Abraham. Mm-hmm. And he spared Lot for Abraham's sake. Mm-hmm. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all right for God to remind himself. He even tells us to put him in remembrance of his word.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Put him in remembrance. And he'll put himself in remembrance. So from now on, every time you see a rainbow, just think, God's saying to himself, I won't destroy the earth with the flood. God is saying to me, and reiterating, I won't destroy the earth with the flood. Okay? I won't wipe out all the breathing creatures on earth. But God will judge, and he will execute that judgment in a fair way without violating his covenant. Okay?
Now, you're going to find that on the test coming up soon, so you might want to make note of this. Here's the test question. A rainbow is a reminder of God's covenant to Noah and all flesh. It reminds God and humanity that the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. So you're going to want to remember the flood, okay? All right. Moving on to verses 18 and 19. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread.
Now, this is an interesting statement. You can look right over it if you're not cautious. Shem, Ham, Japheth are the sons of Noah. Ham, now it just says Ham, is the progenitor of Canaan. You ever heard of the Canaanites?
Mm-hmm.
Descendants of Cain. Okay? Now that's important as we go along, these things unfold. Okay?
Okay. And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent.
Now, Ham is a bad boy, okay? Now, if you think about this, Noah has become a husbandman. In other words, he's planted his own little vineyard there. And obviously this is over a period of time because it takes a while to grow grapes, doesn't it? And so he's planted this vineyard and he's made wine from the juice of the grapes. And evidently it was good enough that he got excessive with it and got so drunk that he must have passed out and is laying there in his tent naked. The preacher of righteousness. Not a perfect man, a man righteous in his generation, okay? All right.
And then it says, Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without.
So remember Ham, the father of Canaan,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Ham, for whatever reason, looks in the tent and he sees his father there naked. And evidently, when he goes back and tells Shem and Japheth, it's not like he's real concerned. It's more of a, probably more of a novelty to him than anything. But his two brothers respond differently.
Mm-hmm. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness.
This is before the law. But they have a conscience that's saying that's not the right thing to do. And so they back in to cover their father. You understand? Cana was not covering his father. He was exposing what his father had done to his other brothers, okay?
I wrote down a reference, 1 Peter 4:8, and this is familiar to you, isn't it? But love covers a multitude of sin, doesn't
yeah.
it? And that's, you think about how when we truly love somebody, we'll cover them in their time of need, won't we? And that's what...
Now, I want you to understand that there's a consequence to what Noah done. Because when he pronounces a curse, he's pronouncing it on part of his descendancy. Had he not done that, that curse would not have come forth, you understand?
And Noah awoke from his wine, and he knew what his younger son had done to him. And he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren."
Now, here's the thing that's interesting. Number one, we find out from here that Ham is the youngest son.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But he didn't curse Ham. He cursed what Ham produced. You with me? And so the curse is on Cana, Ham's son. Cana produced the Canaanites, who were wicked people that God had the Israelites to drive out and gave them their land. These were the descendants of Ham. Okay?
Mm-hmm. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant."
And so Cana becomes a servant
mm-hmm.
to Shem and to Japheth.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see that later on.
Yeah. "God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant."
God enlarges Japheth, and he dwells in the tents of Shem, and Cain shall be the servant. And so Ham's action brought about a severe consequence to his son. And then all the way down the line. all the descendants of Cana are under the curse.
Now, something we're going to want you to remember for your test is the principle that's embedded in this. The incident involving Noah's drunkenness and nakedness teaches us that God is pleased when we cover the faults of others. So y'all remember that. He's pleased with it. And look at verse 29. And all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died.
Well, that refutes 120-year longevity of man, doesn't it? Noah lived what? 950 years?
Mm-hmm.
So don't fall for that line of the 120, okay?
Mm-hmm. Now, when we get to chapter 10, we're going to see the lineage of Noah, and we're going to learn about the earth being divided.
Before you go there, I want you to think about this. How old was Noah when he exited the ark?
601.
601. How old was he when he died?
950.
He lived a long time after the flood.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of things could transpire, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long it was before he grew the vineyard and all this other thing. You see where I'm coming from?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can do a lot in 300 years, right? 349 years or whatever.
Mm-hmm. You can. Chapter 10.
Ready to jump in?
So we're going to also...
She asked me, she said... Do I have to read this genealogy? I said, absolutely. Because if you don't, they won't. And we're going to read the Bible. We're going to go through the Bible. But there's things that you learn from genealogy that you probably didn't think you would know. You didn't even know that it revealed it.
Okay, here we go. Verse 1.
So you've already looked at this.
Well, let me just say this real quick. I told you we were going to read about the lineage of Noah. We're going to see the earth being divided by an earthquake and a descendant of Shem, Peleg. Remember him? Pete told us about him. We're going to read about him. All right. 1. Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were the sons born after the flood. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tyrus.
Let me stop you just a minute. The sons of Noah's sons were not born until after the flood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Verse 3. And the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz.
These are interesting names if you want to look at Gomer and Magog and Tubal, because you'll find them later on as enemies of God.
Mm.
Okay.
I'm in the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, and Riphath, and Togarmah, and the sons of Javan, Elisha, Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, every one after his tongue, after their families, in their nations.
Now, this still goes on today in a lot of places, that families congregate, that community is family. This is why you see people call one another brothers, because they're related by family. You have a village, and that village is all related. And so they're actually developing territorial things. Okay, like in, for instance, in Africa, you see tribes. Okay, and so you're developing this territorial thing that's birthed out of family. Okay, and so this is what he's showing you here, how the people are, what's the right word, geographically locating themselves by family. Mm-hmm. You know, this village. Okay, what are they doing? They're filling the earth. That's their mandate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's Noah's sons. If you think about this, the population of the world today is the result of Noah's sons. Everybody on the face of the earth can trace their lineage back to Noah. It's not the color of your skin. It's not the language you speak. Why do we have different skin colors? I don't have a clue. That I see some of the most idiotic things posted on things. Like, I just saw a couple days ago, somebody had posted white people came from Japheth. Shem, Ham, Japheth came from Noah. So we're getting color groups out of Noah. That dog gonna hunt with me. Okay. Leave that stuff alone.
Verse 6. And the sons of Ham, Cush and Mizraim, and Put in Canaan.
I'll give you a break here. Let me say this. Families have their own language. Even though we may speak English, in your family, you probably use words that other families don't use. We were sort of laughing. I was telling Heather this afternoon, but a little bit, my grandparents and my dad, you know, we grew up not in the country club, I assure you that. We were pegged, I guess, as rednecks, you know, stuff. But anyway, my grandma, if you were to ask her, she was a precious lady, godly woman. You would ask her, Grandma, do you have any biscuits left? Ain't got nary a one. That was just it. And my grandpa, he always said, you know, he climbed a tree or he reached out and did this or that. Just peculiar to our family. And then my dad, till the day he died, never, with a kerosene lantern, he never did say wick. It was always weak. And so, you know, we boys growing up like that, you pick up on some things, and then the idioms, just like that dog won't hunt, that bird won't fly, or stuff like that. Those things are generally peculiar to that grouping that you're in. And then what amazes me is, like in Africa with all the tribal languages in India has like, I think it's 18 national languages. But they had to develop Swahili so one tribe could commune with another tribe, you understand. It's an interesting thing. This group settles here. And then the earth gets filled, and everybody don't say the same thing the same way, and some of us have a more precious accent than others. I'll let you figure that one.
Verse 7.
I'm not ashamed of being from the South. I'm not ashamed of my Southern heritage. I'm not ashamed of how I grew up. You understand? I thank God for the heritage, because here's what that did. It instilled godly fear in me.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Even though we grew up poor, and even we grew up around all the ungodliness of my parents, in the midst of that, lived godly. And they poured that in us and poured that in us. You know, it wasn't through education. My dad had an eighth grade education. But I'll put his wisdom with most. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So don't be ashamed of who you are. Just thank God that you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
And the sons of Cush, Sheba and Havilah and Seta and Raamah.
So there was more, Ham had more sons than just Canaan. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ready? I'm going to keep, I forgot.
Where was the curse on?
Ham.
The curse was on Canaan.
Canaan, Ham's son.
Hmm?
Ham's descendants.
These others were his descendant too.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Sabtacha were the sons of Cush. Okay. And Cush and Dedan, verse 8. And Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh in the land of Shinar. Out of that land went forth Ashur, and built Nineveh, and the city Rehoboth, and Calah.
Remember the land Shinar.
Okay. And Resen, between Nineveh and Calah, the same as a great city. And Mizraim begot Ludim, and Ainanim, and Lahaban, and Nephthahim, and Pathrasim, and Cashlehem, out of whom came Philistine, and Kaphtorim. Ooh. And Canaan begot Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, and the Jebusite, and the Amorite, and the Girgashite, and the Hivite, and the Arkite, and the Sinite, and the Arvadite, and the Zemarite, and the Hamathite, and afterward were the families of the Canaanites spread abroad. And the border of the Canaanites was from Sidon, as thou comes from Gerar, and from Gaza, or Gaza, as thou goest unto Sodom and Gomorrah, and Admah, and Zeboim, even unto Lasha. These are the sons of Ham, after their families, after their tongues, in their countries, and in their nations. And Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the elder, even to him were children born. The children of Shem, Elam, Asher, Arphaxad, Lud, Aram, and the children of Aram, Uz, and Hul, and Jether, and Mash, and Arphaxad begot Selah, and Selah begot Eber, and unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided, and his brother's name was Joktan.
Now, if you look at this, you're finding names that I think you recognize, like Jebusite,
yeah.
Amorite,
mm-hmm.
Girgashite, Hivite,
mm-hmm.
the Arvadite. Now, who are these people? They were the ones that were driven out. Mm-hmm. Of the land, right?
Canaanites.
So these families of the Canaanites dispersed,
mm-hmm.
okay? And then it gives you the border of these Canaanites. Mm-hmm. Have you read that?
Yes.
Okay. And so as you, I'm not going to go into all that since you've already read it, but I want you to think about these are descendants of Ham.
Mm-hmm.
According to their families, their languages, their countries, and their nations. So Ham had a lot of descendants that took over this Canaan land
mm-hmm.
and settled in this Canaan land, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And so because of their ungodly living, they were driven out. Remember the curse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just want you to think about this. This is why I say you can learn things from genealogy. Who are the Jebusites? Who are these Hivites and Amorites? Descendants of Ham through Cain, or Canaan, not Cain, Canaan. Okay?
I read all the way through 25 with Peleg, and the earth...
You down here to Eber?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'll tell you what, because of our time, we'll stop right here and pick back up, because there's some things I want to say about Peleg. Okay. But the genealogies are not as boring as you may think. It's just hard to pronounce words. And so when Heather asked me about it, I said, well, who in the class can correctly pronounce them? None of us. None of us know the correct pronunciation. And even this Bible is divided in syllables in the Bible dictionary. The way they pronounce the word is not the same as the way they're pronouncing the word.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it? It's an opinion. Okay? So don't let that trip you up. Go and read the genealogies. Okay?
Right. Okay.
Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you flee before you. Amen. You guys have a great rest of the week.